Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The book business ain't getting any easier. This is Wretched Radio. It's shrinking right before our very eyes. The publishing industry, whether it's Christian or whether it's secular, and people aren't reading as many paper books. Ah, the feeling of a paper book, a hardbound book in front of a fireplace with Paco Bell's Canon in D playing softly in the background.
No, Beethoven.
Whatever. Now we just zip, 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 slide with our finger, look at things electronically. Nothing wrong with that, but it has changed the publishing industry. It continues to shrink. Lifeway closing up all of its retail stores, going strictly online because everything changes. With advancements in technology, with advancements in our society, whether it's the Industrial Revolution, the Technological Revolution, industries change. Kmart. Where's Kmart? Did anybody ever imagine Kmart would be gone? And you think, well, that was just back then. That couldn't happen now. No, it does happen now. Food chains that were once really... Arby's used to be about roast beef. Now I don't know what Arby's is about, frankly. They've had to morph to try to stay up with the times a little bit. It's hard to imagine Amazon will never be in business. There will come a time when Amazon won't be in... Apple, it can't... It will, at some point. Something will replace it. It will change and it will morph. And as a Christian, we see those things as sometimes difficult, but good things. If it makes things better for us people, then it's all good for us. Along the way, it can be kind of challenging, and it is for Christian book publishers and Christian retail outlets. And now it turns out it's just plain hard to be in the Christian book business. Headline from Fox News. Are you familiar with Christian book distributors? They're called CBD.
No.
See where this is going right here? Looks like they're going to have to change their initials and instead start calling themselves Christian Book because they're getting too many phone calls from people saying, "Hey, dude, you got my order?"
Okay. I don't think that's quite how CBD works, but
it doesn't work that way. But nevertheless, because of the trend for CBD oil, which it appears does not have the hallucinogenic, it doesn't have an addictive substance, so it appears there's nothing wrong with CBD oil. I can't say that there's anything good about it, but I can't say there's anything bad about it either. So use it if you choose to. I think as a Christian, you have permission to. But Christian book distributors, formerly known as CBD, have to drop it because they're being inundated with cannabis requests. So they're changing their name. Times they are a change. And speaking of Christian publishers, was talking to Phil Johnson, who apparently is lollygagging all over the Northern America continent, North America continent. He's up in Canada and stuff, traveling around with his family, taking pictures like he's having a good time. I thought he was a Christian. What's he doing? Having a vacation with his family. We were doing Too Wretched for Radio and talking about the current climate of being able to speak truth forcefully, definitely lovingly, but also forcefully. And typically when you go about the business, even of trying to discern rightly and apply the rules of discernment, there are people who will say, you can't be doing that. You can't be talking about that person. You've got to do it privately, a la Matthew 18. No, not ever. When somebody publishes something publicly, they put up a public YouTube. They are trying to influence people outside of their church. Now it's the body's business. It is. Now, we don't want to be busy bodies, but when things are put out there publicly, we can respond to those things publicly. Sacred Sandwich. If Paul's epistle to the Galatians were published in Christianity Today, If it were If it were sent as a manuscript to a Christian publisher, do you think it would get printed today? I'll bet it wouldn't. They just have way too many considerations to keep their business afloat. Dear Christian Publisher or Christianity Today, if you like, in response to Paul D. Apostle's article, these are some of the letters to the publisher, in response to Paul D. Apostle's book about the Galatian church, I have to say how appalled I am by the unchristian tone of this hit piece. Why the negativity? Has he been to the Galatian church recently? I happen to know some people at that church, and they're the most loving, caring people I've ever met. Now, that was signed, by the way, from Phyllis Snodgrass, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Is it possible that the Galatian church had some people that were doing some good things? Of course. Is it possible that there were some people who were flourishing spiritually? Absolutely. Does that mean that Paul couldn't criticize the Galatians for the false teaching that was being introduced into the body? Of course not. But those are exactly the types of responses and critiques that you get from people today for critiquing false teaching. Now, believe me, there's a lot of people who are in the critiquing false teacher business that should get fired. They don't know the first thing about it. And the first thing about critiquing is asking the question, why am I talking about this? Why am I bringing up this person? Is it really out of love for the person, for the truth, for the sake of the church, for the sake of God? Is that my motivation? If you can't jump over that hurdle, sit down and zip. That's got to be the motivation for judging anybody. We're not tabloid journalists. We're not, sorry for this, Fox News. We're Christians. We don't judge the way the world does. Dear editor, how arrogant of Mr. Apostle to think he has the right to judge these people and label them accursed. Isn't that God's job? Sorry. I've just had this email 100 times. Regardless of this circumcision issue, these Galatians believe in Jesus just as much as he does. And it's very pharisaical to condemn them just because they differ on such a secondary issue. Well, it's not a secondary issue. It's clearly a primary issue, which is why Paul said, you're accursed if you believe it. Furthermore, yes, they can claim to love God, but if they don't love God rightly and believe in grace alone, then they are not his. Can't we just focus on our common commitment to Christ and furthering his kingdom instead of tearing down fellow believers over petty doctrinal matters? Ed Bilgeway, Tonganoxie, Kansas. That's why you see the books that you see in Christian publishing world. There are some good books, make no mistake about it. There are some Christian publishers. They are few and far between that are trying to stay faithful and publish and print good things. But there are many who just crank out bilge. Not as in Ed Bilgeway. Kind editors, in response to the Book of Galatians being published, I happen to be a member of First Christian Church of Galatia, and I take issue with Mr. Apostle's article. How can he criticize a ministry that has been so blessed by God? Oh, man, this hurts. Hey, you can't criticize that false teacher because they dug 18 wells in Africa last month. And what does that have to do with false teaching? Yes, you can be doing some fruit examination, but even if somebody is doing what appears to be some good, that doesn't have anything, any bearing on what is true and false teaching. Our church has baptized many new members and has made huge inroads in the Jewish community with our pragmatic view on circumcision. My advice to Mr. Apostle is to stick to spreading the gospel message of Christ's unconditional love and quit criticizing what God is clearly blessing in other churches. I've pretty much received that email multiple times. That's from Miriam Betty Ben-Hur from Galatia, Turkey. Now, that is satire. but it cuts so close to the bone. By the way, a publisher's note, they'd like to apologize for our rash decision to publish Paul Apostle's book on the Galatian church. Had we known the extent in which our readership and advertisers would withdraw their financial support and stop purchasing our materials, we never would have printed such unpopular biblical truth. We regret any damage we may have caused in propagating the doctrines of Christ. That is brilliant satire from Sacred Sandwich. I don't know that they're still in business anymore, no. But wow, they used to do some funny stuff. This funny and true. There are good publishers indeed, but there are many who are being pragmatic just for the sake of staying in business. A lesson to us all, if compromising means staying in business, it's better to go out of business. No matter how productive and helpful you think that your ministry is, if you are compromising, if you are watering down, if you are selling out, whatever pragmatic good you think might be coming from your ministry, it simply is not needed. It is more important that we are faithful to the truth than it is that we are successful numerically. Lessons from the Book of Galatians. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here. Always glad that you choose to spend part of your day listening to us here at Wretched Radio. You already know the numbers. Millennials just do not get their information off of television anymore. They are not glued to the TV. They're glued to their phones. Better part of 2 hours each day using their apps, getting all their information and entertainment. So part of our millennial initiative, pretty simple, let's get the content out there in front of them on their phones. And we truly need your support. Go to wretched.org/donate to support Wretched's Millennial Initiative, getting more of our content out on more social media platforms so that you won't have to go to wretched.org to find us. A very fine website is our wretched.org, but we're looking to get our content out to more streaming services to reach more of this younger generation. Wretched.org/donate is how you can help support Wretched's Millennial Initiative. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
A young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some pretty good news, some good news, and some not so good news, all from the nation of California. This is Wretched Radio. Have they seceded yet? Would that? With that,
no,
with
I'm
that.
Still waiting for the San Andreas Fault to do its work.
Just stay. There are so many good ministries in California. There really are. I mean, Living Waters is there. There are a lot of great graduates that are pastoring churches from the Master's Seminary. Grace to You is there. There are plenty of good ministries in California. It's just...
The fields are white.
Whew. The harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Who will answer loudly? Loud and long the Master calleth, rich reward He offers. Who will answer gladly, saying, here am I, send me, send me. A lot of people are in California. They are sent. They're preaching. Well, we need to do some more preaching, particularly in Berkeley with the not so good news, but maybe not so horrible after all. You decide. Gendered language like manhole will soon be banned from... Todd, don't laugh at the pagans. Gendered language like manhole will soon be banned from Berkeley's city code. No more manholes.
Mm-mm.
City council. Because they don't have a homeless problem or anything there.
They have nothing else to
worry
about.
The roads are fine.
Yeah.
There's no traffic. Everything is good. So they decided, let's tackle some issues like language issues, turning every word into a gender-neutral term. No more manholes in the city of Berkeley. No chairman, manpower, policemen, or policewomen. That's just too gender binary. So they're getting rid of it, all of it. Women and non-binary individuals are just as entitled to accurate representation. When people walk down the street and say, hey, look out for that manhole cover, does anybody feel excluded that isn't male? At any rate, our laws are for everyone, and our municipal code should reflect that. All right. On the positive side, if there is one, this really, in a sense, it doesn't bother me, just from a language standpoint. If you've studied any of the classical languages, let's just take Latin. Please, somebody take Latin. You've got masculine, feminine, and neuter genders, and words would have a gender. Now, not every single word would seemingly align to its correct gender. I don't know how they, I think porta, that's feminine. Is that right, Joey? You took some Latin.
Port, no.
Is it porta, door, gate?
I took.
It's feminine.
I took Greek.
You would think that's neuter. That's neither male nor female. So languages have historically assigned genders and tried to neutralize something, it's not a masculine thing, it's not a feminine thing, it's just a thing. But the laws weren't perfect for it, so if we want to change our entire language, furthermore, I don't mind telling you, just from a writing standpoint, if we could just get this singular plural thing for some pronouns figured out, he and she, they, how many times have you found yourself having to go, they, well, he or she, because you can't keep the gender thing straight and you don't want to leave somebody out because we've got problems with our singular versus our plurals. For it would be the third person, singular and plural. If we could get that figured out, I'm okay with that. So from a linguistic standpoint, Berkeley, if you want to take a look and examine masculine, feminine, and neuter nouns and pronouns, okay, I don't know why, but that's not really what's going on here, is it? This is a representation of a worldview. Typically, when you watch the news, there are very few stories that don't represent a worldview. Turn on the Murder and Mayhem Hour. It's nothing but, well, this guy killed that guy, this person took that person's life. There's a worldview behind it. It's called godlessness. There's more to it, likely. Fatherlessness, drug problems. It all represents a godless worldview. And what's going on in Berkeley? It's a godless worldview. It's removing any of the historic understandings of role. Oh, I wish I had that with me. Oh, I wonder if I could find that for you. I received an email. It was just this morning. It was from a Mrs. Johnson, and she was talking about how how she longs for the day where men would show deference to the female gender, like it's a good thing, holding a chair, opening a door. No, those were esteemed to be good things and deferential things to say, hey, we really honor your gender. And all of that's changed, and she's wishing that those days would return. And I don't know if right now that they're going to for the culture. We can keep doing them. But language, the way that it used to be used, it did demonstrate that there were some gender differences, but not gender disparities. And so you've got the city of Berkeley with a worldview behind it saying there's no difference between genders, so we've got to change everything so that there's nothing but gender-neutral terms with no recognition that there can be anything masculine and feminine. And that's really what they're after. They don't want to do the Latin masculine, feminine, and neuter. They just want everything neutered. That's it. No masculine, feminine, period, ever, anywhere, male, female, doesn't matter. We can't even use those terms to say we don't want those terms anymore. It's a worldview. And it's not a good one. And it's not one that causes flourishing. We were at Panera. Panera, by the way, is a Latin word also. See, this is stuff. The value of studying Latin, it's just never ending. The word Panera actually is a Latin word for a question, which means, what are you out of today? Because almost inevitably out of something. They've got a summer salad. It's the strawberry poppies. It's very delicious. I don't mind. It doesn't taste like a salad, which is why I like it so much. I said, I'll have the strawberry poppy seed salad. We're out of strawberries today. It's noon. There it is on your board. This is America. I forgot my Latin. Panera means, what are you out of today? And I saw a couple of women that were presumably married with their children. And just... And I thought, you know, these poor women, they don't even know how bad their worldview has been for them, how bad it is for others. They just don't know. And so when you see these things in Berkeley, they don't know what they're doing. They're in the dark and they're tripping around and they're stumbling and fumbling and bumbling. They don't even know how bad their worldview is for them. Back to California we go. This is from Fox News.
Oh, good.
The Crystal Cathedral. This is actually some good news. The Crystal Cathedral is reopening as a Roman Catholic church. That's right. That's very good news, because I prefer the Roman Catholic Church being open up than somebody who identifies as Protestant who's not. $72 million renovation. They bought it. I don't know what it looks like now, but I guess they've got icons all over the place, and they've got things buried in the altar, bones of saints, etc. And it's, well, it's a Roman Catholic church. You be the judge. Which is worse, the Roman Catholic Church or the power of positive thinking nonsense that came out of there for decades? That's a bit of a horse race right there. I don't mind saying, which one was worse? The Robert Schuller Crystal Cathedral, teaching false teaching, never getting to the gospel, or Roman Catholic, which is false teaching and never getting to the gospel? How do you weigh such things? Here's some good news, potentially, from California. That's right, potentially. There's a new apple that is being bred. And this is from the California Sunday magazine.
Apple bread.
No, that's apple butter that you put on bread. Delicious.
I think of apple fritters as bread. That makes me feel less bad about it.
Can I tell you a little source of contention and attention, perhaps, in our marriage? I'm going to anyway. It's a big one. This is a very big issue. Very big. We're right on the brink because of this. Apple crisp. I'm just telling you, apple crisp. My wife makes an incredible apple crisp. It is delicious. Every time she makes it, everybody in the family raves. It's that super sweet crust. It's not that floury, doughy one. It's the one that's really super sweet. And it's just, and the cinnamon inside of that. It's just like, it's like dessert. And inevitably, she'll find a new apple crisp recipe. And inevitably, I say, but why? Why do we need a new apple? And then she makes it. And it's never as good as the one that she originally did. It's a little source of tension in our home. I think we're going to survive. We took Drive by Marriage, available at wretched.org. I think we're going to pull through it. Just saying, why? Those are the types of things Those are the types of things. There's probably been divorce from Apple Crisp before. There is a new apple coming out of California. It's called the Cosmic Crisp. We'll see. It's the result of crossbreeding two varieties. The Honey Crisp, the original apple in the garden that caused Adam and Eve to sin. It's that good. Which are a bit finicky and kind of expensive, with the Enterprise apple, which is a late-ripening, long-storing apple, so less fussy to produce, which means we could have an apple that competes with the Honeycrisp that isn't expensive like the Honeycrisp.
Todd.
Honeycrisp, on sale now for just $3.99 a pound.
Todd.
What?
It's coming from California.
By the time they put the taxes on it.
Oh, dude, it'll be more expensive than gold.
Sorry, I had this story in the wrong column. Bad news coming out of the state of California. They're producing something that we're going to want with a promise it's going to be cost you less, which is basically, I think, what's on all of their license plates. It's their motto. This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another opportunity to share the gospel. This is Wretched Radio, a brand new study, 6 years in the making, 3,800 students in Montreal, that's in Canada. No surprise, teens who spend more time on social media have increased depression. We've seen it before, we're seeing it again and again and again and again. As little as 1 hour of social media interaction from normal levels would result in measurable increase in depression, the study found. This is one of the big issues of our day and one of the biggest opportunities that we have to share some good news. Hey, we can help with that. And Christianity isn't about fixing your depression. Christianity is about you being reconciled to God. And guess what? God will then progressively help you to have joy unspeakable. Not just joy. Joy unspeakable. You can't even imagine that. You can't even talk about this joy. It's so amazing. You can have it in Christ. This is an opportunity. This study tells us that there is a white harvest field looking for direction. How's about we steal some of the limelight from Jordan Peterson, who seems to be getting a lot of it. People who are rudderless, they're confused, they're depressed, they feel hopeless, they have no purpose in their life, and they're looking to a guy who is not Christian in his philosophy. He is Jungian to the core. Now, does he say some good things? Yeah, and he's very interesting to listen to, very captivating character, but it's not Christian. People are flocking to him. We have got an opportunity to re-enchant the world with the Christian gospel of Jesus Christ based on the upward social comparison. It may be that repeated exposure to idealized images causes depression. My life doesn't look like a beer commercial all the time. How come I don't get to climb a mountain and have a party with a fire in a tent with light bulbs without a generator? How come I don't get to live like that? My life is terrible. And it's bumming people out. They didn't go quite this far. It didn't tie screen time to increase suicides, but the study noted depression during adolescence has been linked to teens taking their own lives. This issue is huge. And I don't mind telling you something. It was over the weekend. I got happy about the booklet that I'm writing on suicide. I was just not pleased with what I was putting together. We're working on a new booklet for people who struggle with suicidal ideations. And I was writing it way too theologically and clinically. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And it just felt cold. I know. It probably reflects my conservative heart, but nevertheless, this week I finally found the direction to encourage people to enter in and say, give something one more try. People who are so suicidal, they're thinking that suicide, that is their life raft. Believe it or not, that's it. They're drowning. They are they swim and they paddle and they never get closer to shore and they scream and nobody on shore ever hears them. And the suicide raft drifts by and they go, that's my out. That's the best option that I've got. And so I started writing with thinking about those people, feeling that they just have no other choice, and to lift up the Christian gospel to say, this is why you're thinking the way that you are, feeling the way that you do, and this is what God wants for you. This study demonstrates we have an opportunity to re-enchant the planet with Christianity. Not persuaded it's a big deal? Perhaps, you know, we're working on a program called Road Trip to Truth, working very hard. The guys in production, they're killing it, but boy, are they working hard on this thing. To create a program that reaches millennials and Gen Zs with the gospel, knowing that they are not happy. How can they be? They don't have joy unspeakable. How can you be happy with baubles and trifles and things that are fading? John Fabares, he's the host of the program. There's going to be other people on the program. Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Nathan Busnitz. I think it's Dr. Mike Riccardi. If not, it's Pastor Mike Riccardi. It's Dr. Jonathan Sarfati. It just great cast of characters in this program. One of the episodes, probably two, with Shai Lin, is going to be the issue of suicide. John Fabares went to the campus and discovered what these statistics reveal. Kids are depressed and suicidal.
Do you know anyone in your life, or have ever known anyone in your life, who has committed suicide?
I do not.
Okay. Have you ever personally struggled with anxiety or depression?
Yes, that's the truth.
What has that looked like in your life?
It's really sad, and you feel like broken, and like just don't know what to do. It's very painful, I think.
How have you personally dealt with that?
I haven't. I'm still going through that every day, actually.
Yeah, so what do you think causes that in your heart?
I would say like society, like school for sure. Like K through 12 is very easy, and then you get to a high college level and you're just not making it. You're not the big fish anymore. And that's a big drop.
Have you ever had suicidal thoughts?
Yeah, it's passed a few times.
It doesn't stop shocking me how close to the surface it is. I just asked, do you like juicy fruit gum? Yeah, I like juicy fruit gum. Have you ever thought about taking your own life? Yeah, it's right there.
When was that?
Late high school, early freshman year here in college.
I would assume that those are kind of the most down moments that you can remember. Why do you think you got to that place?
I just felt like I was putting a lot of work in and not seeing the results I wanted. I didn't know what I could do better. And I was just sinking.
So if you were talking to somebody who came up to you and told you, hey, I'm thinking about suicide, I'm thinking about killing myself, what would you tell that person?
I'd probably just sit down and talk, because I think a good thing is, like, it's like such a taboo topic. People don't feel like, you look around and you think everyone else has like their life together. Mm-hmm. So you think you're on your own just dying, but you talk to people, like, we're all kind of like in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that would help out a lot.
You're drowning. They're sure. Look at all the people having fun. You're screaming and nobody hears. And that is when suicidal thoughts enter in. And this was revealed to us over and over and over again.
Have you ever personally struggled with anxiety or depression?
I have actually been diagnosed with slight anxiety. I wouldn't consider myself ever having depression. Yeah, I've been, as you could say, melancholy. I've, you know, felt, you know, sadness, but, you know, my mom's dealt with depression, and, you know, there's a difference between when me and her feel a level of sadness or depression. Yes. For her, you know, it's been a level of near suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. I've never seriously thought about that myself, but...
Do you know one in your life who's committed suicide?
No one very close to me, mm-hmm. But certainly within, I guess, the realm of my life, you know, there's been people.
How does, like, having a mom who is depressed, how does that affect, like, your outlook on life?
It leaves me, I guess, a lot of time to think for myself, because it makes me think, you know, can I help her? It's hard for me, you know, especially, you know, when you're a kid, mm-hmm. to be able to communicate with her and try to make her feel better. You feel like, you know, don't really have a lot of power to do much.
Mom's depressed and suicidal. This young man is depressed, doesn't feel like he can help. Secular psychiatry can't. Jesus Christ can. What did he promise? A peace that surpasses understanding. The truth will set you free. And he delivers on his promises.
So, Sierra, we're asking people kind of a tough question. But the question is, have you ever personally struggled with anxiety, depression, or suicidal thoughts?
Yeah, I would say I'd struggled with depression off and on. Mm-hmm.
So. Have you struggled with suicidal thoughts ever?
I guess, like a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to describe what happened?
I mean, nothing really happened. It was just thoughts that occurred. And then, like, decisions on whether or not it was something I wanted to do. But usually I decide no, because I'm usually looking forward to something.
That is key, isn't it? I'm usually looking forward to something. But this is like the dog that is chasing after the whatever that thing is that they do with dog races. And they, as long as that bunny is out there, they'll run. But if it's not, they don't. And as long as somebody thinks that they have something on their bucket list they haven't completed, that just gets you, I got one more thing to do, I got one more thing to do. But those things run out, and furthermore, they lose their shine, don't they? The things of this world, they just rust. They don't deliver on their promises. Is there anything that doesn't rust or fade away, that never grows dim, that is always the superlative of everything? And it's not a system, it is not a religion, it is not a faith, it is a person, it is Jesus Christ. The world is, we've never seen a world more depressed. Maybe there's been another time in our history when it's been that, but right now we are seeing a depressed society. And they are trying to figure it out without the right tools. We've got them. We've got the solution. We've got the answer. The only question is, do we love them enough? Do we care about them enough to share it? Teens who spend more time on social media have increased depression. You've been to the mall, you've been to a store, you see the kids on the social media. That means there's an equal sign. They are also bummed out. And you and I can come along and share a message of hope and a community that will not make them feel rotten. It's a little old thing that Jesus died for called the church. The only question is, will we have the courage to open up our mouths and speak? This is Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church.
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Wretched is going to prison. Well, Wretched Resources are going to prison, and we need your help. Our gospel booklet resources, Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time is Purple, and Rotten Fish, are going to be given away for free to prison ministries to distribute to inmates. That's where you come in. We can't do this without our gospel partners. See, the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Without your generous support, we wouldn't be able to give away these resources for free to prison ministries. So if you're interested in supporting Wretched, please visit wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. Wretched.org/donate. Now, if you're a prison ministry interested in distributing Wretched resource to inmates, please contact jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N, jen@wretched.org. Let's get the gospel into prison. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsène, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother, sadly, passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, they didn't see that one coming. This is Wretched Radio. The new pastor, he's graduated from seminary. He's studied hard, hopefully, not simply studying theology, but studying how to become a more godly man. That's a game changer, seminary. And don't go to seminary just to acquire knowledge. Go to seminary to grow in godliness. You'll learn the same amount of stuff, but it will change you, which is exactly what a pastor should be aiming at with his flock. Not merely to be teaching theology, but to teach them how to become more conformed to his image and love the Savior more and desire to be like him. You'll be able to teach that theology, but it will be application that then changes them and teaches them what to do with it. A church that has high theology, that's a wonderful thing, but if it's never about the purpose of being conformed into the image of his son, it's a bit dead letter. And there can be some churches, maybe you've experienced this. You go to a church, it's pretty, boy, the pastor, rock solid. Check, check, check when it comes to all the theological boxes. Why are all the people so cold here? Why does this feel so dead? Why is nobody serving? Why is nobody giving? How come this place isn't growing? Maybe it is because the pastor has had his eye too much on theology and not enough on transformation. Now you can go too far into the other ditch, can't you? Well, here's our Bible verse. We'll get to that in a minute. But hey, wouldn't you just like to have better time management? Oh, boy. And then all you get is application. You get life principles. You get skills how to manipulate this and that better. But you don't get transformation and you don't get theology, which causes the transformation. It's a delicate balance. There's no question about it. But a pastor should be aiming for those things. And if a congregation seems to be lacking in that regard, you should examine if the pastor himself is being changed by theology. Is the pastor becoming sweeter? Is the pastor becoming more evangelistic? Because if he's not, it might indicate his preaching is not aiming at that very thing. And so it is, a pastor who goes to seminary, who's just, I want to learn, I want to get really good at this theology thing, that's good, but there's a better. And that is, I want to become more like Jesus. I want to be a tender shepherd. I want to be loving and strong and faithful and courageous, and I want to know theology. There's a big difference. And so this young seminarian, he graduates, he goes to church, and perhaps he's wide-eyed, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed. He just thinks he's going to change this church and the world, and then he runs into a little old thing called reality. Six challenges new pastors did not see coming. Todd, I'm not a pastor. What does this have to do with me? Well, you might be the one he didn't see coming. And you don't want to be that guy or guyette. Do you? Let's take a look at this list that was compiled by who else? Tom Rainer, TomRainer.com. Number one, this is the first thing the pastor didn't see coming. Wow, I've seen this one. The search committee really doesn't want the church to change after all. Sure, they had meetings. Oh, we're so glad. We really need some changes around here. So you ride in on your stallion, and all of a sudden, you are the goat. I'm not sure that any of that metaphor worked out, but the point is it had something to do with animals. The people who said this is what we want don't when it arrives. I've seen this countless times with the same guy. Look, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go, Pastor, but just know, it's no guarantee just because the search committee, the people, whoever that happens to be, doesn't just greet you with open arms. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't give it a go, but you should be aware there's a pretty good chance they changed their mind or they really didn't want that after all because it affected them. It's very interesting. People love a preacher who steps on toes until it's their tootsies. They'll cheer that guy. Yeah, you get him, Pastor. Yes, have at it. Wait a second. What did you just say? That's my thing. It reminds me of the story that Joey would love to tell. Go ahead, Joey. Tell the story about the pastor who pointedly pointed a finger and the response that he got.
There once was a pastor who called out some people, and they didn't like it, and it went poorly for him.
Let me give you a hint, Joey.
Okay.
Timber! Go ahead.
No, I'm going to need more hints. I didn't make it to rehearsal. I'm sorry.
That's both of us. A timber.
Oh, the pastor who
Look
was
at you,
calling out...
You got it!
Yeah, there was a pastor who... preached to
new
a
pastor.
A new pastor preaching to a bunch of lumberjacks.
Go ahead and tell the story. Yeah, he come in as lumberjack in a town in the northwest. Go ahead,
yes.
Keep going. You're doing great.
In British Columbia or something.
Exactly.
And all the people were behind him as he decried all these different sins.
Right, exactly.
He
when he was
them,
talking about thou shalt not steal.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And they were amening and saying absolutely, and he said, you know, things like taking, you know, this and that from your neighbor or stamping their logs. Well, it's been years.
Now, let this be a lesson to you, Joey, to show up for a rehearsal. The guy arrives at his new pastorate, and where did he go? British Columbia?
Yeah, let's call it that.
Wonder if he bumped into Phil Johnson. He's tootling around up there at any rate.
Or Saskatchewan.
It's his first sermon. He preaches a whiz-banger on the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. He gets to the door to greet everybody as they depart. Everybody who shook his hand, that was wonderful, Pastor. That was wonderful. And he couldn't figure out why they were so pleased with him because he was actually talking to some of them because he knew that some of the lumberjacks were stealing. How would they do that? Upriver, somebody would cut down their wood, and then they'd send it down the river. It was their trucking system back then, their transportation mechanism to get it to town, where they would then receive their logs and then take them to market and make a living. Well, some people in the congregation were intercepting the logs halfway down, and they were cutting off the end of the log, which had the brand of the actual person who cut down the tree, and then they'd rebrand it with their own name, send it down the river, and collect the logs that didn't belong to them. Why was everybody so pleased with his sermon? So the next Sunday, instead of preaching a sermon on thou shalt not steal, he preached a sermon titled, thou shalt not rebrand thy neighbor's logs. Nobody thanked him for that message. Why? Because he stepped on some tootsies. And that is what happens commonly in churches. Yeah, you go. You've gone too far with that one. What do you mean, Game of Thrones? I can handle it. Who do you think you... Legalist! Happens a lot, and it happens to new pastors when they come to a congregation. We want change, but not that change. We didn't know it was going to cost us that much. Number two surprise. The deacons or elders really don't want you to lead. They told you, we want a strong leader. We're ready to follow you, preacher. And they were. Until you started leading them somewhere they didn't want to go. And then Sabbatuji. If you thought Caesar had it bad on the steps, woo! Et tu, Elder Borde? That was Latin right there. Even had the
was
ending
it?
Correct. Number three, biggest challenge new pastors didn't see coming. Surprised, your biggest supporter became your most vocal critic. Don't be that guy or gal. Don't become the one who just rips him to shreds when you were singing his praises an hour earlier. Guard against that. If you've got an issue, go to him privately. Make sure you're doing it for the right motives. Pray for love and kindness and encouragement and wisdom. And then go to him and share your concern or concerns. But don't become the church Judas. Don't become the church Brutus, to stick with our Latin theme. Don't stab the guy in the back. Isn't that funny? There's an inclination. It seems to me that there's an inclination. It's somebody who's vocal. Maybe they just love singing the pastor's praises because somehow they feel good about it. But they apparently feel equally good about denouncing the guy, too, as long as they can be the one that's in the spotlight doing the shouting. Maybe. Number four, surprise. The church is not really excited about evangelizing the community. Oh, we're all about evangelism. He arrives. So tell me about your evangelism program. You don't expect us to go witness to people now. We wait for them to. We ask God for God minutes. God, what do people call those? God moments. Yes, it's a God moment. It was just a God thing. That's what that was. I just waited for the. When did that happen last? Well, let's see. If I recall, the disc jockey was saying, here's a new number one hit from Duran Duran. That's, I think, the last time that I actually witnessed to somebody. Surprise, pastor. Does that mean he shouldn't go? No. But I will say this also. A church that doesn't evangelize, it is likely the pastor doesn't evangelize. Number five, surprise. The budget cannot be changed. But the treasurer told you the church would be flexible. But not anymore. Yeah, I know what we said, but we just decided to tighten them their strings. Don't do that to your preacher. Number six, the denomination is not really there for you. Surprise! You came with great fanfare. The denominational leader showed up at your installation service. They told you, oh, if you ever need anything, just let us know. And now you need something. Hello? Hello? Nothing.
The great
Pastor,
cricket wave.
Be ready for those surprises. And church, whatever you do, don't be those surprises. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.